On today's show, we welcome Ruth Bennett from Worcester, all the way over from the UK. So lovely to have you, Ruth. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Now, you know, I probably, in my head, I'm like, this is not the claim to fame of the phone call. However, Worcester has been a long debate, my wife and I. She'll be listening in on this podcast. And this is where Worcestershire, did I say it right? Source
Nearly.
Comes from?
Worcestershire. Right? Worcestershire.
Damn it. Yeah. I thought I had it. I thought I had it nailed. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming on, and it's certainly, it's not about the source, the real gem of this show today is actually going to be hanging out with you and understanding all about what you're up to. And so for people out there that you know, haven't come across your journey so far, it is quite inspiring. I love seeing your Instagram feed, motivational posts, your training. But for those of us who don't know you, tell us a bit about your endurance life.
Well, I've always run. I've run since I was about 14, 15, so a long time now. And I've always loved the longer distances. So my first marathon was over 15 years ago. So I've done a lot. And then in more recent time, I'm a mum of two. My children are 4 and 5. So I feel like endurance isn't just running on the road, but juggling everything as well, really, with my family and training and stuff. But I'm just happiest when I'm running, and I'm definitely not a short distance kind of girl. I like just being out for a long time, and you know, just the feeling that it gives you and the way that you feel. I think when you're really tackling those long distances, it's just like nothing else. So it's always been a massive part of what I do, but I think in the last couple of years I've found a really sort of new love for it, and I've really challenged myself in terms of my training and my speeds and things like that. So I'm kind of finding a bit more potential than I thought I had, I guess. I'm really enjoying that, and sharing it with people is part of that journey for me, and I love doing that. So it's been quite a lot, really.
How many 15 years of marathon running, like, that's a I mean, you know, that's
a lot.
It's quite impressive. I mean, leading up to that first marathon, were you just you know, running at shorter distances, and you saw that you know, this is, well, let me try this, because, like, and when I say shorter distances, like, you know, I've done this 22 kilometer race, and it's not a short distance to me. And getting started 5K wasn't a short distance to me. So,
absolutely.
You know, like, tell us about leading up to that first marathon.
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right. For a beginner, you know, 5K is a massive achievement. And I still say that to people all the time. You know, I think getting going is the hardest thing. And actually, the distance comes later. So I'd always done a lot of shorter distances. But my dad was a runner, and he had a lot of friends who ran marathons. So it was always something that I sort of knew was like the pinnacle of being a runner. And yeah, just like that, I started with shorter distances. But I always knew it was kind of, that was what I wanted to do. And particularly being in the UK, the London Marathon is such an iconic race that I really wanted to not just do any marathon, but I wanted to do London. So that was kind of, I don't know, I'm quite goal driven. So when I've decided I want to do something, I like to kind of go for it if I can. And so I hadn't been running that long, and I told my dad and his friends that I wanted to do a marathon, and they all sort of laughed at me and thought I was a bit ridiculous, I think. But you know, in the end, they gave me a lot of guidance and you know, help me with the training. And I was lucky to get a charity place for a charity that really mattered to me. And I just increased the miles really slowly. And, you know, and I think that is the key for anyone who wants to start running further. It's about giving yourself that time and not doing anything crazy, you know, and going up gradually. And I say this all the time, but anyone can do it. As long as you've got a good training plan and you're careful, anyone can increase the distance that you run. And that was pretty much what I did. Found that I loved it. Didn't do great in my own eyes. I didn't love the time. So then, of course, once you've done one, it's like, well, how am I going to get better? How am I going to beat that next time? So then you've got your own motivation every time. So I think that's the journey for me. It's never been about anyone else or beating anyone else's time, or, you know, even really sharing that with others. But it's just about that you know, competition with yourself, which I think
is the
biggest thing, really. So
and even if they may have you know, had a bit of banter at the start there, it sounds like dad and his mates, providing a bit of support probably would have been a good
thing. Massively.
It's probably good to have someone there. But what I find interesting, even further to dig into what you sort of said there, like it seems that, say, this London Marathon, and you know, people talk about the Boston Marathon, and some of these iconic races seem to draw people, or the goal. Like it sets a goal in people's mind. Like you said, once that goal's set, it's done. Yeah. But it seems that these races really sort of make the way to the top of people's lists. Isn't it interesting how an event can do that?
It really does. And if you've ever been to one of these events, even more so, because there is just a feel which, you know, it's very hard to describe. It's very hard unless you've actually been there. But it is, you're right, there's that draw of those big events. And I think for a while, I didn't really even consider there were other marathons or other races to do, because it is just those big events. And I think the great thing about them is everybody is equal. You know, you've got the best runners in the world, the world record holders running London. And at the same time, you've got runners who take several hours but are probably raising thousands and thousands of pounds, so in their own way just as special. So there's just that kind of leveling thing about a big event like Boston or London or New York, and you know, that they're just so special. And I think when you've done one, it really helps keep the bug alive. So yeah, definitely.
And had you gone and, like, you know, if your dad's running them, I don't know if he was doing London, but had you gone and watched the London Marathon prior to running it yourself?
I had, yeah, as a child I had. Not my dad actually, but other family members. I didn't remember a lot about it apart from the crowds, but there must have been something. There's always been something for me about running and about those big events. So I did have very fond memories of London particularly, but also quite a lot of more local, sort of more smaller races, but again, they do have that same feel, I think. So yeah, it was definitely about memories for me, and associating really positive things with it as well. Definitely.
And you've mentioned that you know, your training's taken it up a notch now, like you're looking to find that next edge, but you're also, like you just said, there's people that are raising all this money. That's now you're the charity runner right now. So you've got what, two marathons coming up in not too long a time, and they're going to be in a few weeks of one another. Tell us about what's happening there.
Well, yeah, I booked a place in the Manchester Marathon, which is first, after doing London last year and not being too happy with my time. London last year was really, really hot. Not hot by your standards, I'm sure, but hot by UK standards.
It's all relative. I get it. I'd be freezing cold over there.
Yeah, so you would. But I died out there a bit. So I wanted another race where I could, you know, really focus on time. So I booked Manchester. But then I was contacted really early this year by the charity WizKids, which is a charity. It's a UK charity that provides equipment for disabled children. And because my day job, I'm a teacher, I'm a SENCO, which is basically the teacher that's responsible for all children with special needs of any kind, or physical or learning. So I know what it's like for children that struggle. So it was a charity that meant a lot to me anyway. And they offered me a place in the London Marathon, and I couldn't turn it down, because as we've just said, it's London, you can't turn it down. So that meant 2 in 3 weeks, but actually, that's given me even more motivation to train hard and also raise as much money as possible, and sort of really emphasize the endurance aspect of that. Of running two marathons close together is pretty tough. So people have been really generous, and it is about the money, of course, but it is also just about awareness and, you know, talking to people about the difficulties that young people face, particularly difficulties, you know, of disabled young people. And it's something that, you know, even if people can't necessarily donate, they can share the story, they can just be more aware of, you know, that, and I think that's really important as well. So it's about money and dialogue, really. But yeah, no, fundraising is a massive part of running, definitely. And I think that's, again, why running is just such an amazing, powerful sport, because it doesn't just make you feel better, but it can also really raise that awareness for other people. And I think that's so important.
I like it. And if people wanted to donate, are they searching you on Instagram, or how are they doing that?
So my Instagram page is Ruth Runs, and on there in the bio at the top is my link. So I would love that. If anyone would like to donate, I'd be very grateful. Very, very grateful. Thank you.
And so teacher, marathon trainer, mother of two kids, you know, 5 and 4.
Yeah.
You're also a fitness instructor. Is that right?
I am, yeah, sometimes when I have time.
So I'm keen to understand more about the fitness instructor thing, but I'm just going to put that on hold for one quick sec. How on earth are you fitting everything in?
It's hard. You have to be organized. I think you have to, you know, as a runner particularly, I have to be quite selfish, because there are times when it would be easier not to run, but I have a plan to follow, and I think that really helps because I'm accountable to that. So it just means I have to plan my week really carefully. I have a lot of support from my husband and our extended family, so we're lucky there. My kids love running, they get it, and I think that's really, they've always, you know, before they could walk, they, if they saw someone running past in the buggy, they would clap them because they know that's what you do.
Really?
Sort of thing.
Yeah. That's cool.
My daughter's five, but she's done a couple of 5K races now, and you know, so yeah, so they're kind of really into it. So I think that helps, because it's never something that they see as a negative as part of the family. You know, they come along to races and they watch, and so I think it's just about sharing that, really. But it is tough, of course it is, and you know, it's Mother's Day here in the UK today, so there's lots of focus on mums and how hard it is. But it's just the same for dads. You know, it's there's so much to juggle in modern life. But I think you can, you know, if it matters, then you can do it. It's just about finding, you know, finding that way depending on your jobs and your own commitments and things. So I'm not going to say it's always easy, but worth it, I think. I hope.
Well, happy Mother's Day for starters.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Interesting to imagine, like, running being woven into the fabric of your of your family. Like, I'm sitting there last night, my boy, he's three, and he comes up and he's saying, like, running, daddy, running. And he's just sitting on my lap, and we're watching ultra trail running races on the TV, on YouTube, on the TV.
Lovely.
And it's really intriguing to think that when he looks, when I'm guessing when we look back, what he will have seen me watching on TV wouldn't have been car racing. It wouldn't have been horse racing, or who knows what's on other televisions, you know. It would have been that this running. So I can see how it does end up weaving into their life.
So true.
Plus they see you out running all the time.
Yeah.
So I love that. So if I could ask then, when the week starts for you, like you said, you plan out your week, you know, quite meticulously. Is that something that you're sitting down with hubby and you're doing? Are you, do you, is it a plan that's sort of just rolling over week after week? Like, if someone's listening on this and they're like, oh God, I would love to fit it all in. you know, how do you make that plan? Like, does it start with your training plan? Or?
Yeah. It does when we're training for a race, and my husband runs too. So, I mean, I follow a plan, and so does he. So, and we have like synchronized calendars on our phones, you know. Yeah. You just have to sit down, I think. And I start, obviously work is work, but then you start with running and the kids' commitments, and then, you know, and sometimes it is, you know, you do have to be flexible, so it might be running before work, or, you know, splitting something, or, you know, that's just life, isn't it? But I think I always say this to people when they ask me this question, but I think that everybody has commitments, everybody has these things. It's just about prioritizing what matters to you the most, and being active is, I mean, you know, obviously we love it, but actually for mental health, for, you know, just, I think it's so important. And so I think just prioritizing it isn't as difficult as it sounds once you get into the routine of doing it.
Well, that's true. I can still see, like, the benefits outweigh any cost.
Exactly,
in terms of time. And then, you know, where others might be sitting there thinking, oh God, I've got to get exercise in or whatever else, your passion is actually that thing that's driving those health benefits in your life, which is nice.
And I have more energy then to do things with the kids, and I feel more positive. So, you know, so I think it all feeds in, and there are weeks where, don't get me wrong, it's not that at all, and it's really tough, but most of the time you can remind yourself of that, and I think that does help.
So the fitness instructor thing, tell me a bit more about that.
Well, I've always done that since university. And it was initially just something because I was always in the gym. I used to be a bit of a gym bunny, really. And I thought, well, I may as well get paid for teaching classes rather than being here for nothing. So, and it sort of carried on from there. I teach a lot of the Les Mills classes, which are sort of popular worldwide, really. So, you know, the choreography is provided for you, and you teach it. You know, there's weightlifting ones and boxing. And I think for me, before I had children, it was just something that I, you know, it was just my outlet. I just love to do. You have to be, you know, it's lovely to motivate other people and work. And I love exercise, group exercise, because there are lots of people that would come to that wouldn't feel confident in the gym on their own. And I think it's really important to encourage those people to, you know, that's, you know, it's so important that everyone finds their love of exercise, and group exercise appeals very much to a different demographic, really, than the solo runner or the weightlifter or whatever it might be. But then I've just always carried on with that, and, you know, done some PT, some personal training, and you know, just, it's just another way of of being involved in the fitness industry, I think, and that's what I love. And it's taken a bit of a backseat lately because marathon training is all consuming. But it's something I always return to, you know, after the children and, you know, maternity and all those sort of things. It's just something that's always continued. And again, it's just about sharing that love, really, I think, probably is my motivation, really. I don't get much money for it. It's just for fun.
Yeah. And that's another interesting thing. Like, you know, at times in life, you know, I found myself driving hard for money, supporting the family, doing those sorts of things. But then, you know, at the same time, when you are just looking out at what it is that you love, digging deep inside yourself and thinking, well, actually, what do I enjoy doing? Yeah. It doesn't have to then be about the money. Like, of course, we need to make enough money to pay our bills and do those things. But isn't it nice just to actually tap in from time to time, or if not all the time, into those things that we just truly love doing?
Definitely, definitely. And if you can, if you're lucky enough to find something, you can do that. You know, and the buzz of teaching a class for me to a full class, you know, and they're really enjoying it, and the music's really loud, and everyone's got that vibe, is just brilliant. You know, it really is. And like you say, if you're lucky enough to be able to do that, and you know, and can afford to have those things in your life as well, then you would, why would you not? So yeah, it's always been an outlet for me. I think it comes back to that well-being.
I've always seen the those spin classes, like you know, I'll be watching, and it's not just but in American movies at times you'll see them, and they're like this pumped room, and they're going, it's like a nightclub except fitness.
Do you know,
it certainly seems very intriguing. And to be the instructor at the front of the room, I think that would be a bit of a buzz.
It is, because it's a performance, really, you know, and people sort of learn your style, and, you know, and it is such a buzz. It really is. And it is, you know, particularly around where I live, the group exercise sort of industry is massive, and a lot of people really, really love their classes, and they're very loyal, and it's just a really rewarding thing to do. Really,
and you must see then as well, or have seen over the time, that say that someone might be a little bit nervous about coming along to an event like that, which you know, which makes sense, or just going to the gym by themselves, but then all of a sudden that unlocks something in them, and then you might see them venture off into either more classes, make friendships, or perhaps even go something like, now they're training for a 5k race or a 10k race. So that must be nice to see.
I've taught a class, and somebody stays behind after to tell me that they've taken up, you know, running, or they've come to some different classes, or they've started to come regularly. I just love that. And, you know, you often see quite a lot of friendships develop as well, and social groups, and, you know, sometimes even relationships. And it's just lovely, because I think it's that connection that fitness brings to people. And I just absolutely love seeing people start their journeys like that. And, you know, I'd never get tired of hearing them talk about it. So, yeah, definitely that. Definitely.
I like it. Now, speaking of journeys, do you have, if you look back, you know, 15 years of events, but do you have a favourite endurance event?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've talked about it already, but definitely London. The first time I ran the London Marathon will always be my favourite, I think, because we've touched on the sort of special feeling about the event. But I didn't know what to expect. I was young, really, to run a marathon, I guess, and I didn't really know what to expect. And I'm also terrible at geography. I'm really bad at locations. I never know where I am.
So
and I didn't know.
I'm geographically challenged. Okay, I'm with you. Yes.
I think it's finer intelligence.
It's a real thing.
It really is. I've got no idea where I am at all most of the time. So when I was running the London Marathon, there were people talking about landmarks, but I had no idea. And when you get to Tower Bridge, you literally take a sharp right and you're crossing Tower Bridge. And I didn't know I was about to do that, obviously. So I literally just turned and it was in front of me. And it was really one of those breathtaking moments where there was probably 6 or 7 lines of people on each side. The bridge was moving, it felt like, because of the noise that people were making. And everybody is just screaming your name and cheering you on. And I just couldn't believe it. It was just the most magical moment ever, really. And I had goosebumps. I couldn't believe I was just running across Tower Bridge. I was running the London Marathon. Everyone was yelling my name. And it's probably the closest I'm ever going to get to being famous, that's for sure. But it was just really magical. It was so magical and so inspiring. And everybody's shouting like lovely things at you about how amazing you are and all that, you know, and just really cheering you on. And I'll never forget that. And that's what made me want to go back and do London again and again, because it's just that feel that we've said already, but that just that not knowing it was about to happen and suddenly seeing probably one of the most iconic parts of London. You know, you can never normally run across the middle of Tower Bridge like that. It was just amazing. It was amazing.
Is an interesting thing how they another person I've interviewed, I can't remember exactly, but has mentioned that same thing, that all of a sudden we just, it's like you get to shut down a city.
You're running the streets, exactly. It's amazing. Yes. Yeah, totally.
So how many times have you done London now?
I've done it. This will be my fourth coming up this year. So, and I'm very lucky, really, because it's very hard to get in. It's pretty special. So, fourth time, lucky, hopefully.
I like it. And again, you know, just like I know there's ultra runners and I know there's all those sorts of things, but for you to have been doing these events and running these miles and making it all happen at this level, that's quite impressive. Do you ever just sort of stop and sit and think, wow, like I actually achieve a lot?
I don't know if I do that enough, actually. And I think that would be one of my kind of words of advice to people. You know, I think especially with endurance training, you're always working so hard and you're getting to the start line is the battle, really, fit and well, that I'm not sure I do that enough. I always feel quite down after a massive race because I think you're really building up to it, and then when it's over you can feel quite lost for a while, and I guess that's why it's addictive, because then you look for the next one. But I probably don't do that enough, but I'm lucky that I've got people, especially now being part of the Instagram community, which I love, because the running community online is really amazing, and I think people on there are really good at sort of cheering you on and bigging you up when you do something well. And so maybe I rely on others to do that more than I do it for myself, perhaps. But
It is the era that we're in, isn't it? Like I can see how it's scary because, like, you know, we're with our kids, you know, like I've got a daughter who's 11, a boy who's about to turn 15. You know, it's like we want to try to get them to a point where they aren't necessarily basing things on, you know, like how many likes, say, for argument's sake.
So true,
But also what you're saying, though, is it's actually not just likes, because that they are real people at the end of these handles, the Instagram handles. Yeah. And really, like, as I start to see, because I do research, you know, as much as I can out and about and around, and you see that a lot of people follow others and a lot of people gain inspiration from others, so encourage each other.
Yeah.
It is a community.
It really is. I mean, there is a lot of talk, you know, and there always will be, you know, social media can be such a negative thing, but it can be such a powerful one. And a lot of people ask me, you know, my Instagram page was a bit of an accident, really. I just did it because I wanted to document every run that I did before London last year, almost as a diary for myself. And I couldn't really believe that anyone wanted to follow this because it was quite boring. But I just thought, well, you know, I want to keep those little pictures for each run. And then people often say to me, you know, but do you get a lot of hassle, or do you get, and I really, really don't. And actually, there are so many genuine runners out there. And I think it's just, you know, people have that connection, and it can be a lot of people create these accounts because they don't want to put it on their own personal pages because friends and family roll their eyes and think it's a bit dull. And, you know, so why are you still talking about running? But actually, when you're in that community of people who are all doing it and seeing if you've had I do try to be quite positive on there, but there are times where I've posted about a bad run or an injury, and the support that I have is just really quite amazing. And it, you know, and actually there are people on there that I would call friends now that I haven't met, but they are just, you know, they are just always making positive comments, congratulating me when it goes well. So there is a massive positive side to it as well, I think, as long as you're safe and careful and all of those things, you know, it can be an amazing thing as well, definitely.
Well, I consider myself like a highlighter. I love to know, look out and find people, and you know, I see them as inspiring, and I love to like shine a light on that, right? But it is so intriguing, like what you're saying, that, you know, I'm like, why would people follow me? It's boring. Like if I got a dollar each time someone told me that, I would be so rich right now. But that's really intriguing, right? Because you know, even like my wife and I were talking yesterday, and I was sort of saying, like, you know, extraordinary is really just the words extraordinary.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I'm like more ordinary than most. So in a way, maybe it is that factor of looking at somebody else who we can relate to, who we can aspire to be like. If, you know, if you're going through some struggles, hey, I can see how I could have similar struggles, or hey, you made it. Maybe I can make it.
Yeah.
So And because you're not just doing distances again, like most people like might be in a park run situation, they're thinking about losing some weight or just
exactly,
you know? And there you are like, oh, I've got two marathons in a couple of weeks.
No, I am conscious of that, but I, you know, and I try to sort of keep it real, but I have, I do, you know, I do get messages from people all the time, especially mums of younger kids particularly, you know, saying, oh, this is great because watching you shows me that I can get back to it. And, you know, and I think, and I really love that. I love it when people reach out and, you know, and send me messages about things like that. So no, yeah, I think it is. I think you're right. It's just about seeing someone in your situation, but maybe slightly further on, and talking to them about that. And I do the same. You know, there are people I follow on there who are massively better than me. And that, you know, I love that because they really inspire me and drive me to be better. And I learn from them. So it is a really positive community, definitely.
I like it. I like it. And so from you've got like an incredibly positive mindset. You've obviously, like, you've talked about goal setting, and you've talked about, you know, the drive to make things happen and organizing things. Like, from your perspective, what do you think makes up a successful mindset?
Well, it's definitely being positive, as you say. I think you have to be. I think it's, you know, it can be really difficult, but you have to always try and find the positive in a situation. And I really do believe in that. And I think that is what drives me, but definitely about being resilient as well. And I think, you know, running for me, I often say this, but I think long distance runners particularly are stubborn people. You have to be quite stubborn to be a long distance runner. And it's so kind of significant to me, I think, that a long run, a marathon or a half marathon is so much like life. You know, there'll be bits where you feel amazing and it's not an effort at all, and then you'll come to another bit that's really, really difficult, and that's where your resilience has to kick in and your positivity. And I think, yeah, being really stubborn and not, I don't think very often I'm not going to do this. You know, on a really bad day I do, and we all have them. Anyone who says they don't is not telling the truth. But most of the time, you know, trying to be really stubborn about it, saying, well, I'm going to do it. It's just how I do it. And I think running has helped me. It sounds a bit cheesy, but running has really helped me with other difficulties in life, because you know that you're quite a tough person, and you know that, you know, you can sort of get through that and the good things happen again. So I think for me, it's definitely about those things, being positive and always trying to see the good, and then having a bit of that grit and stubbornness about it when things aren't so easy. And I think that's probably the combination of those things for me, I think.
Oh, I like that. So positive, grit.
Yeah, most of the time, but a little bit of feistiness,
I was watching this fella, I can't remember his name now, terrible, but he ran this iconic American 2000 something 100 mile race, 46 days or something, and broke the record.
Wow.
But he just said, you know, if without grit, don't start. Don't go and try and do this and break a record or whatever that might be. I love that the two, it's almost sounds to me like you've got this positive energy that's going to make you see the bright side in most instances.
Yes.
It's going to give you momentum and energy to push forward and drive towards your dreams. But then also then you couple that with grit in the passenger seat of this vehicle that is you driving ahead. You basically become unstoppable.
Yeah, well, that's the plan. Yeah, I think definitely you've got to have that as well. I really agree with that completely. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned, like, you know, you got these people that you're, you know, motivating you, whether that be on the dark days, the positive days, whatever else.
Yeah.
So what is it? Is it just those people that motivate you? Is it the thought of getting to the start line? What else motivates you?
I always want to be better. I love learning. I always have in pretty much everything I do. I love to know more. And I think for me, the most beautiful thing about running is you're never going to be the best unless you're Mo Farah or someone like that. You're never going to, and even then he would probably say there are things that I need to get better at. So it's quite a humbling sport. Yes, there's thousands of pounds worth of gadgets and all sorts of things you can spend on if you want to, but actually as long as you've got a pair of trainers, you can do it. And so for me, I think it's about always wanting to get better. That's not necessarily pace, although I am looking at that more at the moment. It might be about a race where, you know, that didn't go very well, and doing it again next time with a more positive mindset. You know, it could be anything, but there's always something to learn. And I think for me, that's probably the biggest motivating factor. I mean, now I'm a mum, obviously I want to be a role model more than ever, and any parent would associate with that. And I think that's definitely kept me going on some of my tougher runs and training lately, because I want my children, but especially my daughter, really, to see that, you know, I don't give up. But that, you know, that's a more recent goal, and it obviously has only driven me in the last few years. I think really the thing for me is just about always wanting to do better, and just feeling like a student all the time, which I love. So I think it's probably that. And as I've said, other people motivate me massively. And especially in the UK at the moment, there's some amazing runners who are doing, you know, really, really well. And of course, that inspires me too. That excites me about London, because a lot of them will be there this year. And I won't see them, of course, but to know that they're like running the same race as me is really inspiring as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that. So have you, I don't know if you guys have come across this, you know, I'd imagine it's a worldwide thing, but have you heard of growth mindset before?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So it sounds to me like you're tapped right into a growth mindset.
Yeah, I definitely love, I just think it's really important to never think you know everything, or to not want to know more. And I think as long as you have that, you can always find a love for something. And I think that's why I love it. Yeah, definitely.
Because interesting, 15 years of marathons would potentially make you somewhat of an expert in that space, and yet to still take that mindset of, well, hang on, no, Mo Farah is the expert, or whoever else it might be, and continually learning. It just, I guess it just means that you never miss out on an opportunity to find something new, to grow a little bit more, become a little bit wiser. So I do really love that. That's very empowering, a very empowering mind space. And it's nice to think that that's the mind space that you're delivering to your kids.
Yeah,
you know,
I hope
again,
so.
They'll look back, and you'll probably look back. You know, it's weird to think, hey, we're not promised a day on this earth, but 20 years from now, when you're, you know, looking at your kids and you see your daughter coming to you and going, hey, I think I'm going to do a marathon. She's running 5Ks. A couple of years from now, she'll probably be doing a marathon. Yeah. 8-year-old runs a marathon, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. It probably happens, but that's positive. I love the thought of that, like, you know, how we're helping set kids on the right path.
Definitely, definitely. I think that's so true. Yeah.
So you've got these two marathons coming up. Any other 2019 goals?
Oh, well, I'm going to hopefully recover from them. But then, yeah, the autumn, I would like to, I'll probably stick with halves. I'd like to try and get a little bit faster in the half marathon over the autumn season, perhaps. And then next year, I want to focus on speed over in the marathon particularly. So I'd probably aim for an autumn one next year. So, yeah, similar goals, really. But just again, like I said, it's just about always learning. I've learned a lot this year. Following a training plan and having a coach has really helped me. So I think he's taught me a lot, and I think I've probably got a bit more to give there. So developing the skills, you know, really thinking about the skills of running and committing to the plan again. So similar goals, but probably a bit more pace and time driven, which I'm not always, but I'm really enjoying that at the moment.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, interesting, cool goals. My coach and I just said to him the other day, I'm like, I'm really not that interested in going fast. I really just wanted to see how far I can go, you know, which is and probably actually that's not quite right. It is and it isn't, but it's more like how long I can run for and in terms of time and, you know, my body. And I mean, you know, I could probably just walk and do a 24-hour race. Probably couldn't, but, like, you know, if it's just about time. Yeah. So I think at some point or another, if I can run kilometres in 4 minutes rather than eight, well, then I can run twice as far in the same amount of time. So I think eventually that speed thing it doesn't have to work its way in, but I think for someone with a competitive growth mindset, you know, it probably does want to worm its way into, like, well, can I do it a bit quicker and how much faster? And how have you found that? Like, since you've been focusing on working on speed, you know, I'm guessing your training probably has changed somewhat.
Massively.
So tell us a little bit about what that's been like since you've made that decision to, like, really try to ramp up the speed.
Yeah, well, having, as I say, I don't know very much, although, you know, in a way I've done a lot, but that gives me experience. But I certainly don't know about the mechanics of running, and having a coach train me. So I'm part of a group called Team Project Run, which is a sort of online coaching community. And I think being part of that has been amazing because it's really structured my training. So I run more times a week. I run five times a week now. And again, I'm I have to, because I'm accountable. So to Lloyd, the coach, but also to the other members, because we have a sort of chat and, you know, we talk to each other a lot in there about what we're doing. And the sessions are very different. So in the past, I would run at one pace pretty much all the time, a short run, a long run, a hilly run, doesn't matter. It'd all be the same. Whereas now I'll do some sort of shorter speed sessions, hills, sprints, which are disgusting, but do work, longer, slower runs, you know, and actually it's encouraged me to slow down as well on the longer runs, and then, you know, some shorter, faster runs as well. So it's really mixed up. So every day is different. And that's probably been the most amazing thing about my training, because it's just shown me how much quicker you can get with a really well written and a structured plan like that. You know, the speed sessions and things really do make a difference, no matter how good or not good you are as a runner. I think it can improve you no matter what. So I think having that mixed training has made massive difference for me.
It's funny how many times like having a coach, you know, like, you know, I know that he's probably not the best example anymore, but I would often talk, you know, amongst friends or colleagues, whoever, about Tiger Woods having a coach.
Yeah.
Back, you know, and from a golfing perspective. And it's just that somebody else who has, you know, a passion yeah. for it and has, you know, gotten experience and has particular, could be knowledge of the mechanics or whatever else that yeah. might be. My coach, you know, two or three lessons with him in the swimming pool, and all of a sudden it went from, like, somehow I was swimming vertically, and then all of a sudden I realized, oh, you swim horizontally in the pool.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, but it does make all that difference, and then things start to click, and then that builds confidence, and then you start to realize, geez, what am I actually capable of here? I love that. I love that coach factor. And so what was the name of that? If people were sitting at home and they're thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind.
Team Project Run, and it's a global online sort of coaching community. It's run by a guy called Lloyd Kempson. He's all of our coach, he's our guru. He's amazing. Yeah, he's a runner himself. The thing I love about him, I love a lot about the way he coaches and the way he sort of creates a community amongst all of us. But when I first sent him a message and I said, you know, I'd really like to join, but I'm really slow, I'm not a very good runner, but I'd just like to get a bit better, I'd like to get a bit faster. And his reply was, never ever say that to me. There's no such thing as a slow runner, there's no such thing as not very good runner, you know, that's not what we're about. And I think a lot of other, you know, there's a lot of people online claiming to be experts, but the thing that Lloyd does is, you know, it's not about just taking the fast people, just taking the best people. It really is about everyone is the same and, you know, celebrating everyone's success. So his mindset is very similar to mine in that sense, which is why I liked him and why, you know, why I decided to go for it in the end. And yeah, it's great because you are accountable to him and he's there for you if you need any advice or, you know, if things aren't going quite right, you know, as well, not just the good bits. So it's been really great for me. And the other great thing about it is I've met a lot of people that he coaches as well. We're all quite similar, I think. And he's got a good knack of picking people with a similar sort of sense of humour and goals and things like that. So it's been a really good choice for me, definitely.
I love that. And you mentioned before, like, you know, when you want to do these training runs and you want to, you know, not let him down, not let the others down.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're letting him know that, hey, look, you know, I sat the other day at a coaching presentation with my coach talking about nutrition, and one of the other athletes was there, and her name's Alicia, and she's just like, you know, I've seen her feed, she just gets out there, she gets it done. She brought up, I was sitting beside her and she had like her training plan, and, you know, I don't know if you guys use Training Peaks or if you've seen
that's
that,
what we use, exactly the same.
And it turns green when it's
yeah.
And she said, hey, don't worry, it's a perfect week, but her whole page was green, like the whole week.
Oh, that is gold.
Session is completely green. And I just, whilst I was looking at that, I thought back to my own page, which was like one green square, one yellow square, and the rest was red. And I just thought, you know, goodness gracious. However, you know, getting to, you know, see her and hear about how well she's been able to utilize the training, and then that's it, its own form of inspiration as well, you know, like being able to draw on this, on these other people, and it does become this little bit of a community as well, like you said. So
massively,
I like it. I like it. Yeah. And so you're working with, like, you know, some charities. Are you working with any other brands at the moment?
Yeah, too. It's quite a big thing nowadays, isn't it? Online, there's a lot of companies sort of trying to ask you to be involved in promotion and stuff like that. And I try to make sure that anything that I work with is kind of has a bit of a social conscience and try and has something that I believe in. So I think it very, some people, you know, you just see them selling whatever online and it can be a little bit soul destroying at times. But I'm working with two companies at the moment. One is called Runner's Heel, which is an amazing company run by a guy called Chris, and it's all about tackling poverty in Kenya. So they sell running gear, which is quite cool, and it's if you on the Instagram you'll have seen people wearing it, and a lot of it says "We run this" in big capital letters on the t-shirts and so on. And every time you buy a shirt, a t-shirt, whatever, it provides food for a child in Kenya for a month. So it's essentially a way of funding projects out in Kenya. And Chris, again, you know, Chris Cooper, and you can follow him on Instagram as well, and there's links on my page. He's out there at the moment. A horrendous famine, you know, going on, particularly, and there's always things, you know, horrendous, just awful, awful things going on out there that the media don't always cover. But particularly at the moment, he's launched a massive campaign to try and raise some money. And it's just devastating to see what's going on out there. He's also tackled lots of, you know, different areas of the same thing, really. But essentially, it's about providing meals for school children. And so for me, I mean, it goes without saying that obviously that's something that I want to support. But, you know, I try wherever I can to sort of spread the word about Runner's Heel, because I just think it's such an amazing charity, and it's such an amazing, he's such an amazing guy. He's so inspiring. And the work he does sort of single-handedly, just, you know, he's not just one of these people who sat at home comfy talking about what should happen. He's out there doing it and visiting people out there and talking to them, having conversations. And you can follow all of that on his page, and it really is worth doing. So I work with him and I share that a lot. And the only other company is a company called Run Angel, which is very different, nothing like that, but again a similar sort of thing, really. And they provide bracelets that you can wear, which are connected to your mobile phone. So if for any reason you are in trouble, you can press the bracelet. It makes a really loud noise, a noise that's the same sort of noise as an aeroplane taking off, and it alerts you, set up people alerting on your phone, and they get an alert to their phone to say that you've pressed the bracelet. And again, for me, you know, it's easy to talk just about female runners, but it's not just that. But obviously, as a female runner who does run a lot on my own, unfortunately I have been subject to some, you know, unpleasant comments and that kind of thing. Thank goodness, touch wood, nothing worse. But you hear about all of that a lot, and not just women, you know, men as well. And equally, you know, medical things, you know, and sadly we do hear, don't we, about people who may have some, you know, a collapse or whatever when they're running. And so for me, Run Angel is about safety and about, you know, hopefully empowering people to be able to run on their own a little bit more. You know, when I'm wearing it, I think, well, at least I've got that. So if I was in real trouble, you know, I could alert my family quickly. So
both, because that's an interesting thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
you go for a run.
Exactly.
You aren't running. You're not normally, well, sometimes you run with people, but, you know, people run at different paces. Or, you know, if I go for a run with my boy, I'm like, okay, let's go for a run. Within 10 steps, he is 20 meters ahead of me. I don't know how.
Exactly.
Like physics, I'm trying to do the math, carry one.
It's,
I can't,
so
you know.
True.
but also, like, my wife was having a chat to me the other day about, you know, this whole mindset of where people are at. I watched an Amy Schumer comedy special the other day, and she really drilled into what is going on in a woman's mind. And it's not just a woman, but, you know, particularly in a woman's mind when she might have to go for a run or a walk somewhere.
Absolutely.
Just really sad.
That's
a thing. But what an interesting idea. So you can hook up other people to it.
Yeah, so you have angels, basically, yeah.
And they know where you are. That's
you just press the button, and when you press the button, and then it alerts them where you press the button and the time and everything. And so, you know, I think you should be able to run alone. For me, I'm a member of a running club, and I love running with others, but sometimes I want to be on my own. I've had a bad day at work, and I should be able to do that. But as you say, sadly, you know, even sadly, you're just very aware nowadays, I think, that you are alone. So for me, it's about empowering people to be able to do that, you know, as safe as possible. And I really believe in, well, obviously in both of those companies, I really I wouldn't support just anything. I want to support things that I really do want. You know, I think both of them getting that message out there to a wider audience, if I can, is really important. And that's why I chose to support them, really.
Well, yeah, this Chris Cooper sounds like, you know.
Oh, he's amazing. Goodness. Follow him. Yeah, I really mean that. Follow his page. It's just amazing the work he's doing out there.
Mm. And even then, like, I can see that, you know, it's actually amazing that not only the people that you're supporting and the things that you're supporting, but also what you're doing yourself. Like, it is quite amazing what you're able to achieve. Now, if you had to be giving tips, then people are thinking about getting into endurance, you know, or even just getting off the couch, or you know, maybe someone's a runner and they think, oh, I'd like to do a marathon. What might three tips that you might be to those people sort of kicking that off?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing is start slow. So I think that the biggest mistake that people make is they try and take on too much too soon. And it can just lead to injury, which then puts you off. And you might think that you're not doing as well as you are because you've gone off too much. So be really sort of aware that at the beginning of any training, whether that's for a 5K, a marathon, an ultra, whatever, just small steps. You know, I've done a lot of marathons in the past and any training plan would still be 16 weeks long. And I'm probably doing quite a lot of miles before I start that plan. So it's really important, just start slow and be kind to yourself and make sure you don't take on too much too soon. I think it'd definitely be number one. Number two would be recovery. So I think a lot of us are guilty of getting all the training in but not realizing how important rest is. And I think especially since working with Lloyd, I've really learned that rest days are the most important days in your training plan. And that can be hard for someone like me who likes to be go, go, go all the time. So incorporating massage, incorporating baths, incorporating those days where you just have a walk and that's it. You know, it's hard sometimes when you're really buzzed about your training. So definitely do not underestimate the power of recovery. And then I think the third is probably something I've learned this year, which is more running specific, but probably cyclists and swimmers and things would agree, is about slowing down. So I used to be quite scared to run slower than my natural pace because I used to think it wouldn't make me a better runner. But actually, when you're trying to improve your endurance, it's not all about pace, and doing those longer runs much slower than you can takes a discipline of its own, actually, a different discipline, you know, because you've got to really learn that patience. And I've found that this year, but it's had massive, massive positive benefits on my training overall. So I would say do not be afraid to slow down. It doesn't make you a worse runner or swimmer or whatever it might be. It probably in the long run will make you a better one. So, yeah. I think that'd be it.
I love this. Right. So this is intriguing. Like, I think that I probably break the three tips. Yeah. So I need to try to start slow, but then for some reason in my head, I'm like, oh, 100K race. Someone just ran 500K. Okay. Right. Come on, fella. How about you show me that you can run 25Ks first?
That's true. Exactly.
And the recovery thing, yesterday I was stretching and my goodness, just taking some time out to stretch and
so true.
I'm sort of struggling a little bit since that 22K race with my legs being super tight, but also just the muscles that kind of are join the sides of my thighs and my hips kind of
have
just been so tight. And then I just did this super long stretching routine and this morning I woke up and I feel amazing, which is awesome. And the slow down thing, do you deal with some like a term called MAF, M-A-F?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I'm still learning about all these acronyms and jargony things, but I don't even know what it stands for. Max aerobic fitness level or something like that.
Right,
my coach probably shoot me in the foot because I probably should know that. But it is that same sort of thing.
I should probably know too. So if Lloyd ever listens to this, I obviously know what you're
talking about.
Let's
not share it to them. But then interestingly, it seems to me that when I run, I do want to run at a certain speed.
Yeah.
What I want to do and my body's willing to do are different things. But it has been interesting. My coach had me do this one of the first runs. He said, go and do this hour and a half run, but you must keep your heart rate at this level. And I think it's basically 180 minus your age or something along
that
line.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
And so, but I'm looking at that thing and it was basically as though I was pretending not to walk. Like, you know, that jog. where it's not, you could just walk, you probably walk faster.
Yeah, yes. No, I say that sometimes when I'm doing my slow runs, I think, well, I'm just going backwards. This is ridiculous. I want, you know, and you do really feel that. And that's what I mean. It's a bit like yoga or meditation for me. Learning to run slow is very similar. It's about training your mind and not thinking, I've got to get back for seven though, because I have, it's easier if I run quick now, because, and just thinking, no, this is part of the discipline of running, being able to slow down and, you know, everything doesn't have to be at a certain pace. And it's, I think that's just as hard as learning to run faster. People don't, you know, give that enough credit at all. But the best runners, and significantly the runners with least injuries, know how to do this well. And I think for me, if anyone, you know, injury prevention, it's probably the one thing, other than stretching maybe, the one thing that everybody should learn to do better. But it is so hard in the modern day. Like we've said, you're running with your mobile phone, you've got four texts or something by then, and you think, I've got to get home and do all this work. But yeah, no, it's really important, I think, to learn to just slow as well.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. And just like another thing I'm wondering about from the recovery perspective, like, you know, you're doing some massive miles by the seams of it. Yeah. Like, and not only that, some big races, and a year, like, is it just, you know, stretching, or are you getting a physio help? Are you a foam roller addict? Or like,
definitely. All of that, all the things. Foam rolling is amazing. And, you know, for me, that's massively reduced my injury since I did that more regularly.
Can you tell me about that? How do you know you're doing the foam roller ride?
Like, I think when it hurts a bit, you kind of know you're getting into those muscles. You know, there's some great stuff on YouTube, actually, more seriously, if you're not sure. There's some really, really good stuff. And I just watched that, and there's been some sessions at my local gym as well. But you can't go too wrong, I think, as long as you're sort of stretching out those, the big muscle groups, particularly the top of your legs, the quads and the hamstrings and things like that. It's just so good for that.
Do you have one of the ones with the bumps on it, or the smooth?
Yeah,
one?
That's it. Yeah, you've got to have the bumps, definitely.
Ah, the bumps. Okay. Mine's smooth. I got mine because I used to get a sore back, but
you might need the bumps.
Okay, I have to go and invest in the bumpy one. Yeah,
I really would recommend it. I really would, but no, this time particularly, because my miles are so much higher, I have had regular massage, and it is expensive. A lot of the time, unless you're lucky enough to know someone who can, you know, do it for you. But I think what my physio says to me is that, you know, we don't think anything about sort of buying a new pair of trainers or spending a lot of money on other aspects of our fitness, and actually the massage is probably the key thing, because it is that, you know, looking after yourself and making sure that you're preventing any injury or you know, looking for any tight spots before they become an injury. So I think if you can afford to do something like that regularly, it makes a massive difference. But if you can't, then the foam rolling, the baths, the stretching, you know, is still really, really important. If that's, you know, that's still much better. Yeah, salt, I love Epsom salt. I mean the science is out on this, I think. You know, some people tell you it's a load of rubbish, but Epsom salts, which is kind of magnesium, is supposed to be good for muscle recovery, and it also helps if you get that kind of twitchy muscle thing when you go to sleep after you've done lots of exercise. And it's supposed to be, some people say it's good for that. So I just like lying in the bath, so I'm going to believe the science. I don't
Well, maybe even just a time out,
placebo. Exactly. So I mean, you know, whether it scientifically works or not, it definitely helps me. And the warm water, and like you say, just chilling out. You know, I think I'm a firm believer in lots of baths, definitely.
I like it. Well, this has been a really fun chat. I've learned a lot. I've certainly you know, got to know you better, and I can see that, you know, you've got so much going on. I can see how inspirational this would be just to people far and wide. So, you know, for anybody listening out there, follow along. So where might they be able to follow? You mentioned Ruth Runs.
Ruth_Runs on Instagram, yeah. And it's Ruth Runs, exactly the same. Ruth Runs on Facebook as well. But Instagram is my main thing at the moment. There's lots of people asking me to start writing a blog, and I might do that after the marathon season is over. I quite like to do that, but I would definitely come over onto Instagram, and if, you know, if they have got this far in listening, it would be great to know what people think. So yeah, it'd be lovely.
Really, I love nice it. I love it. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to have a chat.
Thank you for having me. It's been great. Thank you.